So for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking through this series called IDK, and we've been looking at difficult questions regarding life, regarding God, and the questions that leave us thinking, I don't know. Week one, we talked about how do I know that God is real, and we looked at evidence for knowing that God is real, because it's a question that a lot of us ask. A lot of people ask, how do I really know that God is real? Then we looked at why do bad things happen to good people? That's a question that gets asked many times. Why do bad things happen to good people? And we looked at that. We looked at what the Bible has to say about that. And we looked at the idea that really none of us are good. None of us are really good people, even though we might think we are compared to God. None of us are good. And the results that come from that, and how God is actually not the cause of those things, and that he wants to do something great and awesome and beautiful through our lives, even through the tragedies that happen in our lives. And then last week, we looked at the idea or the question, is Jesus the only way? Is Jesus the only way? In this culture, in this world that we live in, where it says whatever way you want to get to God is fine for you, we looked at the scripture and the verses that are very clear that say, no, Jesus is the only way. Yes, Jesus is the only way, and he is exclusive in that, you know, saying virtually, yes, everybody else is wrong, and Jesus is right. And the great part about Jesus, though, is not necessarily that aspect being like, you're all just wrong, but the fact that he's inclusive in that everybody's invited, and everyone is invited to accept the free gift of eternal life that Jesus has for him, regardless of where you are in your life. Jesus is always standing right there. He's not waiting for you to meet this bar that you're never gonna meet, because you're not, because nobody's perfect. But he's standing right there waiting for you. You don't have to be good enough to get to God, because there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. So is Jesus the only way? Yeah, but we're all invited. And this week we're gonna look at a question that I get asked a lot. I've been asked this question a lot, and even by some of you, in various ways, and that is, why don't I feel God's presence? Why don't I feel God's presence? So let me ask you guys this. I don't want anybody to raise their hand or anything. I know a lot of you have been a part of something like this, but you go to camp, you go to a conference, you go to a missions trip, and you're on those things, and you're like, man, this is awesome, and I'm growing in my faith, and I'm closer to God, and I'm ready to just like charge the gates of hell with a squirt gun. And you're just like pumped, you know what I'm saying? And you get this feeling that you're so close to God, and then you get home and things start to slip away. Things start to slip away, and you find yourself feeling distant from God. You find yourself feeling like he's not even there, like you're just praying to the air, and it doesn't really matter. I know that a lot of you have felt that. Maybe you feel that right now. Maybe that's where you're at right this very second. And you're just hoping that maybe coming in here tonight will give you just a little sniff of God's presence in your life, because you need that. So let's talk about that. I want to look at some reasons why maybe we don't bless you, why we don't feel God's presence, and what happens when we get to that place. So here's the deal. We get to this spot, and some of you might be in this spot, where you feel distant. You feel distant, and you feel like God's not there, and you, as we said, you feel those things slip away. You feel those ideas slip away, because you're not getting up every morning and doing a Bible study, you know, with the whole missions team. You're not, you know, you don't have like rock and worship like we had tonight every single morning and every single evening like we do at camp, and you don't have, you know, all the different church friends that you're with at camp or on a missions trip or at a retreat or something like that. And you're wondering, like, man, why don't I have that just like ready to kick the door open? I'm pumped. Like, where did that go? Why can't I get that back, that closeness that I feel with God? That you feel when you're at camp, that you feel when you're at a missions trip, and you've got that, man, God's presence is just so thick, and it's like he's, you know, it's like he's like right here with me the whole time. And now here I am, middle of the fall, and I'm in school, and like this is honestly, this right now, this is the time when this usually happens to students. Because a lot of student ministries, I'll just tell you this for a second, is navigating the peaks and valleys. If you look at a chart, you got missions trip, you got camp, you got the fall. And so like everybody's, yay, Jesus. And then how do you navigate the valleys? How do you do that? And it's, that's one of the unfortunate side effects of youth ministry, because you almost can't avoid those sorts of things, because we should go to camps and we should do missions trips and all of those things. But what we need to do is we need to understand what it really means to be in God's presence. Does not mean to be necessarily specifically on a missions trip or at a youth camp or the best night of gladiator games that you've ever had. Because Thursday afternoon when you're sitting at home, Thursday evening or whatever, and crap's going on at home, and you're like, God, where are you at now? I might as well be praying to the door. I mean, let's be honest. Let's call it what it is, right, guys? So what happens? What do we do? Well, let me throw this out to begin with. Number one, you're not weird, okay? If you've been in this position, or maybe you are right now, it's normal. It's natural to ask the question, why don't I feel God's presence? If that's the way you feel, then it's normal. If you're feeling that like right then, that's okay, because you're not alone. In fact, the book of Psalms has various places where it says things, the writer says things like, God, where are you? Where are you, God? God, why do you hide your face from me? That's another one. And it's great to feel close to God. It really is. But there's some reasons why maybe we don't feel God's presence. And I want to look at those things tonight. And these aren't every single reason. Just like answering all these questions before, I can't necessarily always hit specifically your circumstance. But these are kind of some blanket reasons, some overarching umbrella reasons that I believe one of these, if not a couple of these, maybe could answer why you are where you are or have been in the past when it comes to feeling God's presence and feeling like he's right there with you. So reason number one is what we're going to call neon. A neon sign is kind of the analogy that we're looking at here. If you feel distance from God, it might be because of the neon sign culture that we live in. And here's what I mean by that. We love to feel and hear and experience things that are just huge and big. You know what I mean? Like we go to the movies, we go jump on roller coasters. I mean, Cedar Point's just like, you know, a couple hours away, and for all, like, we, you know, we all love to go there, and we love the, like, huge, like, big experience. For me, like, I love going to Disney World. Obviously, I'm going there tomorrow. Like, going to a Buckeyes game. If you've ever been to a Buckeyes game, you're just like, you're, by the time the game's over, you're like, I need some pads and a helmet. I'm ready to go and hit somebody in maize and blue, you know? And you get pumped because you got that experience, and you're there, and you're with all those people. And it doesn't really get much better than that. But the problem with those things when it comes to feeling God's presence is because sometimes we do that within Christian circles as well. And we make those big experiences. And then we think that that's all that means to be close to God, means that we have to be in that big experience. And we get this false perception in our head of what it really means to be in the presence of God. Does not always mean, not that there's anything wrong with those things in and of themselves. There's not. I love them. I love going to Christian concerts and going to camps and mission trips and the conferences and all those things. They're awesome. But it creates in us this desire to have that experience means that that's what it means to be in God's presence. That it's got to be this big dramatic thing. And what's funny is that's not too far from some stuff in the Old Testament. I'm willing to bet that a majority of you have not read through 1 Kings, but we're going to look at 1 Kings tonight for just a quick second. God's talking to the prophet Elijah, and he goes to the mountaintop to wait for God because he's waiting for God's presence. And while he's there, here's what it says. Check this out, because this sounds very much like how we feel sometimes. I know this. It says, a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. See, God didn't show up in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. He didn't show up in any of those things, and that's what Elijah was waiting for. He was waiting for that. He was waiting for God to just be like, I'm here, what's up? You know, like that's what we want from God, to know that he's like in our presence. But what does it say here? God shows up, but how? In verse 12, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. God reveals himself to Elijah in a gentle whisper. Here's the deal, guys. God is often very subtle in the way that he reveals himself to us. He's often very subtle in the way that he shows up in our lives. Most of the time, it's that still, soft voice, and it's the things that we overlook. It's the things that we don't see because God hasn't kicked through the door. And so we're like, where is he? But he's there the whole time. A big misconception is that, you know, maybe that we have because we're not thinking about it the right way, is that God's presence has never really left your side at all. He's always been there. We're just looking for him to scream at us. When in fact, most of the time, it's in a gentle whisper. See, just because the wind isn't blowing doesn't mean that there's no air. Right? I don't feel the wind right now, so that must mean there's no air. Nobody says that. But that's what we do with God. Well, he's not knocking me over, so he must not be here. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, which some people are in the middle of this particular reason, right this very second. Distractions. Some people are being distractions right now. And that's another reason why we don't feel God's presence, is because we let things distract us. Because the culture and the world that we live in, our phones specifically, are distractions. Because it's like the culture and society that you're brought up in. I'm not making an excuse and saying everybody gets a trophy. That's not what I'm saying. But like, it's the culture that we live in, okay? Because we are constantly, our gaze is constantly pulled in a different direction. We're all like Doug and up, you know, squirrel. Like, it's just, what's the most shiny thing? I'm gonna go look at that. I mean, we're distracted all the time. We're distracted all the time. Here's the deal, in the New Testament, there's a story about two sisters, Mary and Martha. They have Jesus into their house, Jesus Christ, physically, in their house. And Mary chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus and be just like totally intent in listening to what he's saying. Fully present, fully listening, soaking it all in, listening to him, and just like, oh my gosh, Jesus is in my house, right? She's like really taking advantage of this particular situation, listening to every word. Martha, on the other hand, says this on Luke 10:40. She was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. She's got Jesus literally sitting in her house, and she's so worried about the things that need to be done in the house. She's getting distracted, completely distracted, instead of focusing on Jesus. She's sidetracked. And we do that all the time. We get distracted by our phones. We get zoned out. We get distracted by the TV. We get distracted by all the different things going on in life. We get distracted going down the road, probably by all the construction. But everybody seems to be constantly distracted. And when you're focused, when you're not even able to focus, when you can't even focus on something for a while because we've constantly got notifications and all those kinds of things that are happening, that are pulling us away. What do you do with your free time? I mean, let's just get real for a second. No, don't answer me. Don't answer me. I want you to think to yourself. But honestly, what do you do with your free time? Are you watching Netflix? Are you playing video games? Are you checking Instagram? Are you doing all three of those things at the same time? Some of you are like, yeah, you know, I'm watching Netflix while I'm playing something on my phone. Yeah, I mean, like, shoot, I do that. What do we do with ourselves in this free time? None of these things are in and of themselves wrong, okay? Please don't hear that. Don't walk away going, well, Jay thinks that we should be Amish. That's not what I'm saying, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But God wants to speak to us. He wants to be fully present with you. He wants to have those moments with you. I don't know if you get that. He wants his presence to be with you as much as you, hopefully, want his presence there as well. But we can't focus on him when we're always pulled left and right because of the different things going on. We get too distracted to notice. So maybe think through some of the distractions in your life tonight. Number three, distance. Reason might just be that you've grown distant from God. You may have just grown distant from him. I remember my best friend growing up actually here. He was my best friend here and growing up through high school. And even when we got into high school, we were like very best friends. And when we went off to college, I went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh and he went to Penn State. His name's Dave. And Art Institute of Pittsburgh was only a 2-year school, but I went 22 straight months. I didn't take the summer off. I went straight through. And so I was graduated like real quick. And when I graduated and got a job, he was just then starting his junior year. He ended up going on to law school as well, and he's a lawyer now. But when we were coming up through high school and coming up through the youth department at the church and all that stuff, there wasn't a day that went by virtually that I didn't see him, or talk to him at least on the phone or something along those lines. And on the weekends, we spent the whole time together. His name is Dave. And he's still a friend of mine today. And I know for a fact that if he called me right now and he needed something, maybe not right this second, but if he called me and he needed something, I'd be there for him. And vice versa, he'd be there for me. We still occasionally will randomly text, but to be honest, I haven't talked to him in probably a year. And as we started going through school, and we were going through, and our circles of life just really didn't touch anymore. We were doing different things. He's a lawyer, I'm a pastor, and don't take that wrong, but we just run in different circles now. I think you guys know what I mean by that, right? And so when it comes to that, you just sort of fall distant, and you fall distant away from people. And our relationship, our friendship hasn't been the same for like 15 years, something along those lines. He was my very best friend. Played basketball with him every Wednesday upstairs in the gym here. Literally every Wednesday. But we can sometimes lose our distance from God in the exact same ways because our behaviors have caused us to grow distant from him. The things that we do or don't do have caused us to grow distant from God because we're not doing the things that are needed to keep up a relationship. Because our relationship with God is just that. A relationship is not one-sided. It can't be. Or by definition, it's not a relationship. We need to seek and find God. So let me give you a couple of things that you can bring together here to grow closer to him so that you can feel God's presence. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And yeah, I know, it sounds really simple, and it's not necessarily. The implications for this are very powerful. Seeking after God. We sit back and expect God to show up in big ways, and we're not willing to even take the first step. We're not even willing to even meet him at all, to even take one step toward him. We expect God to have to come the whole way, the entire way to us. But God wants us to make the first move. He wants us to make the first move. If you want a closer connection with God, he wants a closer connection with you. That's the truth of it. James 4:8 says this, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now, there's a lot in this verse here, but see what it's saying at the beginning. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There's got to be a concerted effort on our part. Cleanse your hands. Get rid of the things that are keeping you from him. Get rid of those things. You know what those are. I don't have to tell you. Holy Spirit's probably told you. Maybe they're distractions. And those distractions are making you distant from him. You double-minded there talking, don't be a hypocrite. So what does it look like to seek God? You might be thinking that. Okay, so what's that look like? Like, am I, you know, going on a trip sort of thing? Well, no, not necessarily. It looks like this. Invest your time. Invest your time. You have to invest your time in God. This isn't rocket science. To have a relationship with anybody, you have to invest time. You can seek God by doing the things that will draw you close to him, reading his word, praying, worshiping, coming to church, hanging out with people who know God and are maybe like-minded with the same goal in mind of wanting to fully feel God's presence. Invest your time. What would happen? Let me ask you this. What would happen if you move past the distractions in your life? Everybody right now, think of one distraction in your life. You've got at least one. I just want you to put one in your head. What would happen if you removed that distraction and you committed to pursuing God aside from that particular distraction? It doesn't mean like if you're sitting here thinking, my phone, well, shoot, I'll just throw it in the trash. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But what if you were able to remove that for a time and be able to put that focus on God instead of your focus on Instagram or whatever, Snapchat? We could spend forever looking through everybody's stories on Snapchat, can't we? You want to talk about a distraction? It eats your data too. Here's the deal. Feelings follow actions. Stick with me, I'm almost done, guys. Feelings follow action. This is a really simple principle, but think about it. When we do the things that a follower of Jesus does, you will begin to feel the things that a follower of Jesus feels. This makes sense, right? This makes a whole lot of sense. This is common sense in many ways. If you feel distant from God, start pursuing God. Start going after God by doing the things that will draw you close to him. And more than likely, you're going to feel close to him as a result. So what's the connection point for the night? Why don't I feel God's presence? Because feelings follow actions. And here's the deal. The real answer to that, what is being insinuated there, why don't I feel God's presence? Why don't you feel God's presence? Is that the problem is us, not him. The problem is us, not him. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He loves you too much to go anywhere. So I want to challenge you guys tonight. I want to challenge each and every one of you. I'm going to give you a 7-day challenge right now. And I'd be willing to bet the majority of you will not take me up on it because you got too many distractions, you got that neon sign culture, and because you're not willing to invest the time. I'm just going to be straight up. I don't think you've got it in you. I think you could, but I don't think a majority of you will. I don't think a majority of you will take me up on this. I hope you prove me wrong. I'm daring you to prove me wrong. I want you to prove me wrong. Here's my challenge. Some of you have heard this before. You probably knew I was going here. Pray, read, think, write, do. Well, some of you are cheating. You're following the notes. But here's the deal. You want a plan of action? There it is. It's super simple. And I would love to know how many of you could do this for 7 days. I'm not going to give you the normal 30-day challenge that I usually do. I'm going to give you a 7-day challenge. Wednesday to Wednesday, I dare you to do this. 10 minutes a day, that's all you need. Can you carve out 10 minutes a day?
Jay, that means I gotta get up earlier for school.
Yeah, it does. But you know what? If you really wanna feel God's presence and you wanna draw close to him, hold on, stick with me, and you wanna draw close to him, you'll find the time. You find the time for the stuff that's important to you. We all do. I have found 10 days to take my family to Disney World because it's important to me to invest into my family. So I found the time. You can find, but you know what? While I'm there, I'm gonna find time to also invest in my relationship with Jesus. Oh yes, I will. You better believe it. I'm still gonna be praying. I'm still gonna be doing a devotional on my Bible app and all of that stuff. My walk with the Lord does not take a back seat to Mickey. It's the other way around. I dare you to do this. Here's what I mean by this. I'll run this down really quick. But if you can give 10 minutes a day to God and you can come back next week and tell me that you don't feel God's presence and you haven't seen a change in your walk, I'll give you $50. If you're serious and you come back to me next week, I'll give it to you out of my own pocket. And I won't be here next week, but you can tell me the week after. And you can honestly say, I've done this every day, Jay. I did this every day for 7 days. And in fact, my relationship with God is probably worse, or it's no better. But you know what? The word of God doesn't come back void, so I'm not worried about having to pay up. And if you want to honestly look at me and say, yes, I invested at least 10 minutes a day into doing this, into praying. So you're going to put all your distractions aside. You're going to put everything away, and you're going to give 10 minutes to God. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray to God that he's going to show me something in his word. Then I'm going to read. I'm going to read scripture, and I'm not going to read for quantity. I'm going to read for quality. You're not going to be like, hey, I read Habakkuk, the whole book. Yeah, what's whoop-de-doo? What's it mean to you? You know? Great. Read for quality, not quantity. Then think. Think about it. What did you read? You know, actually reading comprehension. I know it's kind of school, but so what? What does the word of God actually say to you? Think about it. Write. Jot it down. Jot some stuff down. Jot some notes down in your phone or on a piece of paper or something like that. Because there's always an action step with the word of God. And then do it. What's the word of God telling you to do in that passage that you read? You want a place to start reading? I'll give you a spot. John, book of John. Or the book of Colossians. There's two places right there. Two great places. Or the book of Philippians. That'd be a good one too. Any of those. You do that for 7 days. You jot that down. You show me your notes. And you tell me, my relationship with God isn't any better after 7 days. I dare you. I'm not going to have to pay up because the word of God doesn't come back void. I promise you, you will feel closer to God. The presence of God will be more present in your life. I've given this challenge many times. I've had to pay up 0 times. You know why? Because to be honest, probably most people won't take me up on it because you're not willing to invest your time. But God wants you to. I want you to. All the leaders here want you to. It's worth it to invest your time to feel God's presence. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. And I want you to really, for just a moment, forget about who's sitting with you. Forget about the stupid money challenge. In terms of like, ooh, I'm going to do this so I can get money from Jay. If that's really your motive, you're not going to get it. What I hope you get is a closer feeling of presence to God, because that's worth more than any amount of money I could hand you. Here's the deal. God loves you so much. He wants to be fully present with you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Not just to be a genie in a bottle or fire insurance. He wants a relationship with you. And if you don't have that relationship with him and you wonder why you don't feel God's presence, well, maybe that's because you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe tonight you need to get that started. Maybe you've got some questions about that. I'd love to talk to you. Our leaders would love to talk to you. If you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, would you be willing to have a conversation about that tonight? Would you be willing to talk about that tonight? If that's you, would you look me right in the eye and we could talk? I know that takes some courage, and I get that. But if you just make eye contact with me, it'd be just be me and you. And I would love to talk to you about that tonight. For the rest of us, I hope that you would be willing to invest your time, because feelings follow actions. And if you're wondering why you're not feeling God's presence, it's because your actions are not being put in, are not being put into place properly to have that feeling of God. Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for the great night that we've had. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that I know is in here right now, God. I thank you for the way that you want to draw close to us, God, and the fact that you want us to take the first step. So God, I pray that all of us would do that. I pray that everybody would take the Pray, Read, Think, Write, Do challenge. Pray that wouldn't be something that they would just forget about in 10 minutes. Lord, I pray that you would just put that on their minds, that they could start maybe a Bible reading plan tonight or tomorrow on their Bible app. There's so many on there, God. There's so many different ways that we can get into your word through the app or through just our actual physical Bible. So Lord, I just pray and I beg you, Lord, that every single student that's here would take this challenge seriously and take at least 10 minutes with you every morning and pray, read, think, write, and do. And God, I know that you will show up fully present in their life. I know you will, God. Your word promises it. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, God, I pray that tonight would be the night they would make that decision. Thank you for the great night that we've had. Pray you take everybody home safely. Thank you for the food that we're going to have. In Jesus' name, amen.